Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It is your boy Brandon.
It's your boy Sam.
Yo, man, we are back with another episode, man. This is a 6-0 edition. I know for a fact we haven't done a 6-0 edition. So shout out, man. We're definitely, what is that, 11 straight now, a 12 straight, 30 plus games and 30 plus points in what, 11 games?
Right.
Florida State is rolling, man. Another 41-3 win over Syracuse. And hey, we got Duke upcoming, man. We're gonna touch on all of it, man. Sam, how you feeling, man?
I feel good, man. I feel good. I thought yesterday the defense probably played its best game, probably
easily.
Man, probably since Fuller been here.
It was the first time. And listen, for those of you who keep scoring, this is going to be the first time we're going to open up the show giving Adam Fuller a lot of props, but we about to do it. It was the first time I looked at him. I said, great game plan. Like, it was an excellent game. They blitzed early. They blitzed often. They blitzed when they needed to. DBs played fantastic, lights out. They kept the quarterback in the pocket. They really limited that running back, who's very, very, very good. Lights out defense. You only gave up a field goal. You know what I mean? Like, it's – I have zero complaints about really anything I saw on the defensive end. I thought they were well prepared. I thought they were well coached. I thought a lot of guys flew around to the football. A lot of guys made plays. You saw young guys in there making plays. Farmer, I mean, at some point, we're going to have to – you know what I mean? Like, it was Fabo.
He's been your best.
I was just about to say that. We were saying it was supposed to be Fabo, but really, if we really being honest about it, Farmer is definitely past him as far as his play on the field. He constantly makes plays every game. Peyton has decided that, hey, when I get in these rushing lanes, I may not get to the quarterback, but I'm smart enough to put my hands up and bat the ball. We've seen him do this enough now to where I think we can consider it a skill that he's added to his repertoire. They just played well, man, across the board. Linebacker. I thought Hussey was the one. And we hyped him up last week. He probably had his worst game this week after, you know, coming off a strong performance. And I think with a young guy, I tweeted it out. With young guys, man, if we want them to play, let them play. But they're going to make some mistakes. We have to live with them taking their lumps, man. And so I'm okay with Hussey. I think he'll bounce back. I do think he'll still be a good player. And I still think he should get some playing time. So. That's the defense, man. What else you got from the defense?
I don't think Hussey played that bad, but I just think, and I was telling somebody that I think I put it on Twitter, whatever. I'm like, man, you know, October is a time where if your freshmen have been playing a lot, they're gonna start getting wore down as the season go. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he played bad, to be honest with you, man. I just think you're playing against grown men. You know, so you get at this time of the year, you're playing against grown men. So you might get embarrassed a couple of times. Yep. I think he's fine, though. I think Hussey's fine.
Yep, I agree.
I thought Farmer's been our best D tackle. I know Jacoby said it about two games ago. And I was like, man, I don't know. But I ain't going to lie, man. When he plays good, the defense looks better. When he's playing well, it's a different defense. Like, he allows so much stuff to happen. And he's one of those guys that he creates penetration. He stops the run and gets to the quarterback. Like, so he's stopping the run early. Then he's kind of finding his way to the quarterback. He's always kind of like always in the quarterback's lap. You know what I'm saying? Shaheem Brown definitely played really, really good. And I thought they did it. I thought they switched up a little bit, kind of giving Shaheem a little bit more responsibility, which I think that is better be good coming down the stretch of the season too. The backers, I didn't think the backers played great, but they did enough. You know what I'm saying? They did enough. And that quarterback from Syracuse, he might be the worst throwing quarterback I think I've ever seen in college football. He is really, really bad. He don't do nothing good throwing the football.
Nothing. They one route that he was like, okay, well, he does that well. He don't do nothing well.
He don't throw anything well, man. He's a terrible throwing quarterback, dude. And he's been there for
three years. He don't have a lot of stops and he got to give it up.
Yeah, he's terrible, man. He's terrible.
Put your GA hat on and get the coaching, my boy.
Yeah. Probably move the tight end or something.
Yeah. That ain't it.
Yeah, but so anyway, I thought the defense played really well. We can get into some of the gripes. I guess people had gripes about the offense. I do think we're at a point in the season. I'm being honest about this. I do think we're at a point in the season that whatever they don't do well, I don't think they're going to start magically doing it well as the season go. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of this is based on that counter and getting the counter going. And I thought Freddie talk about, because I think Dibby posted something where 70 kind of ran through the hole, and they saying he should have hit that guy. I blocked this guy, blocked that guy. Now, Freddie was saying that's kind of hard because he shouldn't have been the first person to get through. So he supposed to go hit this guy, and the other guy missed his block, you know. So I think the guards kind of don't run that counter well. I think that's something that Gibbons was really, really good at, was running it. Him and Maurice had like a really good feel for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these guards don't do it great. But at first, I thought it was a function of the offensive linemen, the guards not being that talented. I don't think it's a talent thing. I think they just got to keep doing it. And eventually, they got to get a better feel for it. And I thought after the bye week, they would get a better feel for it. So now I'm at the point where I'm kind of like, maybe the counter just not going to work. And I think Norvell going to more four wide receiver sets and splitting out the tight ends and kind of giving it more room. So, you know, I think we got to start griping on this, because I think the team is now a passing team. You know what I'm saying? It's a passing team that's going to run the ball to make people be honest. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what I was about to say. I was going to say
it's different than what we're used to, but that don't mean it's bad. It's still a good, to me, it's still like a top 10 level type offense that any team will have a hard time stopping. You know what I'm saying? Just because the counter isn't working don't mean it's a bad offense. You know what I'm saying?
I was gonna say, I think this year the running game is what it is, right? They've definitely used the running back by committee. They've utilized all of them. Toa Philly, I think, looks a whole lot better than he did last season. He has a different level of explosiveness and decisiveness with his run. We've seen it now enough to say he's been very decisive, very good with his running and catching the football. Trey Benson is who he is right now. He's gonna run tough. He's probably not gonna hit very many home runs against good teams. And we'll see we'll see what he can give us. But we also had a chance to see some of these other running backs. There's a lot of them. Again, it's one of the good problems to have. You have a lot of running backs. Mike has shown the ability that any one of them you can put in there, and they're really going to give you pretty much the same production around the board with a couple home run threats around. My only problem with the offense, because I thought the offense was very good yesterday. Yesterday was the first time, I think, as a fan base, we looked up and said, Mike, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this clown stuff? This game should be over with. You've gotten cute again in the red zone. We talked about it. I felt like all last year, early part of last year, it was, Mike, why are you doing this? What are you doing in the red zone? Just run plays. And then somehow, like the second half of the season, Mike then kind of changed up a little bit. And then we saw it. All right. And then they went on a run. Like, again, early this season, they hadn't missed the opportunity to score in the red zone. They had not missed an opportunity to score in the red zone this season. They were 100%. And he got into this game and decided, you know what? I'm going to get cute with it again. Let me run this jet sweep from the nine. Jet sweep from the nine. That don't make no sense, Mike. You know what I mean? Like, and then you continued on. Then wildcat and goal line situations, not taking the points when you could. Again, at minimum, you should have been up 23-3 at halftime. But if you just take the points, you understood that Syracuse wasn't going to score enough to win. At this point, it's style points, and it's really important at this because people are looking at these games, and for some reason, they're finding reasons to bump us down. They're finding reasons to nitpick our wins. You need style points. So I looked at it, I was like, why? This is not the time to get cute. This is not the time to F around with Syracuse. Go put these dudes away. Be up 33 at halftime, and let's get. Now, again, they came in second half, cut the dumb stuff, and took it to him, which is exactly what they were supposed to do. And thank you for Mike for saying, you know, when the people asking what happened in the red zone, I got to be better. At that point, once the coach acknowledges the fact that this was on him, I ain't got no more to say. So I love the offense. I actually thought the way I like the offense better yesterday than I have the rest of the season. And, you know, I guess one of the questions I was wondering is, did it look different because Johnny wasn't there? Like, I'm not saying, so don't get me wrong, I'm not saying nobody needs Johnny Wilson. You don't want Johnny Wilson. But I'm asking, did the offense flow better because Johnny wasn't there?
I think the offense flowed better because you played Syracuse. You know what I'm saying? I think it flowed better because you played Syracuse. Yeah.
But I mean, it looked different.
Well, I think
the offense looked different. Well, I don't think they threw up 150. I don't think they had 150-50 ball.
Yeah, well,
I don't. Yeah, they didn't have 150-50 ball. If I'm not, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they had.
I think Norvell moved Coleman around, right? So he put Coleman in the slot a good amount, you know what I'm saying? So I be put Coleman in the slot. Guess what? Jordan's throwing it to the slot spot. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I guess my question, why not do this with Johnny when Johnny is there? You know what I mean? Like, I felt like the offense with Johnny feels like
because
50-50 balls, let's just see it go. Yesterday, right. It looked like, okay, here's what I'm going to throw it to the slant. Oh, Jaheim Bell's open down the middle of the, you know what I mean? It just looked like a completely different offense yesterday.
Well, I think when you have Johnny on the outside and have Keon on the outside, I think it moves the safeties where it allows a little bit more room in the running game. So I think that's why they do that. But I think now they're coming to this realization that they're a throwing football team. So now I think you're seeing more spread formations. And I think they're just doing different things. I think this is kind of like, I think what we saw Saturday is kind of more what the offense is going to be now. I don't think you're going to see a lot of them getting in together. I think it's going to be a lot more spread and giving Jordan these bunch sets on one side of the field and allowing him to read that one side of the field and kind of get to the second, third guy to make his progressions a little bit easier. So, yeah. You know, people can argue about what Jordan is or what Jordan ain't. You know, I would let people that like the breakdown take get into more of that, but I think the offense is fine. Like I don't think it's a Johnny Wilson thing. I think that team would have scored just as much with Johnny Wilson, probably more. You know what I'm saying? Like I think he's a big proponent of what FSU does. You know what I'm saying? But you know, Keon Coleman, man, that's a super athletic, talented guy, man. I mean, it's kind of insane, dude.
So I heard somebody ask this question. What was Keon Coleman's comp in the NFL? And I'm not sure I know it. Like the boy is special, man.
You know,
like,
it's crazy. People keep calling him, Eddie Royer said he reminds him of Keenan Allen. And I was like, I don't know if Johnny Wilson ran routes like Keenan Allen. Because Keenan Allen.
No, not Johnny Wilson. I'm talking about Keon Coleman.
No, I'm sorry. Keon Coleman. Yeah, he was saying, compare Keon Coleman to Keenan Allen. And I'm like, Keenan Allen's a special route runner. I don't know if he
runs good routes though. There's levels to it. Again, I'm not talking about Keon.
Super athletic. He's super. You know who he reminds me of, to be honest with you? AJ Brown. Like that's more the guy I would look at him and say he kind of like an AJ Brown type guy. Just kind of big body, just throw it in his percentage, he gonna get it. You know what I'm saying?
Again, that throw was clearly overthrown. The catch that everybody's seen, it was a bad throw. I mean, let's be honest. It was a really bad throw by Jordan Travis that his wide receiver was able to go up and do some special stuff with. This team is where we are because we have Keon Coleman on our team versus not. Like, when you add Johnny Wilson back to it, if this is what the offense is going to be versus the vertical 50-50 stuff, this is kind of what I thought we would look like to begin the season.
Mm-hmm.
You have tight ends on both sides of Moorlock and Bell. You have wide receivers and two number one wide receivers, in my opinion. I'm looking at this game, and I'm looking at the offense yesterday, and I'm saying, man, you add Johnny Wilson back, and they continue to run this level of offense, you really will be unstoppable. Because you can add in the running backs, and it gets to a place where you cannot pick anything to stop. It's why they couldn't double cover Keon yesterday. I kept thinking, like, man, yesterday is probably going to be a light day for Keon because they would shift coverage towards stopping him, and these other guys get free. At no point in time were they able to even do it, because now you got Jimmy Bell running wide open. It makes everybody have to play you straight up, and you're going to lose those matchups more times than not.
Yeah, I think but I do think I think they need Johnny, though. Johnny's really good.
They definitely need Johnny.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this got a lot to do with some of the limitations you might have with Jordan as far as throwing the football. You know, he can get a little – he have inaccurate times during the game sometimes, and maybe that, you know, not reading the field the whole time. And that happens with most college quarterbacks, man. I even seen Pennis get hit a couple times yesterday, and he was kind of flustered reading the field, you know what I'm saying, against Oregon yesterday. So, man, it happens. You know, it's college football. So, but I do think the offense is still explosive. The only thing, like I said, the only thing I don't like is I would like for them to create, especially with Jordan, create better habits in certain situations, especially, you know, that, you know, the cute stuff is just, I think sometimes you just got to bake that into, like, this is just a little Mike Norvell. Like, it's just like, it's just a little bit of who he is. Like, hey, I want to run a little Wildcat. I want to do a little in around. You know what I'm saying?
Toss it out the playbook. Yeah. You don't need it, Mike. Like, again, there were times we had to do that little stuff in order to get yards. You know what I mean? We didn't have good running backs. We didn't have a line who, so you had to do some trickery and you had to figure out some things in order to get yards. I understand that. You can throw those, burn them pages. You got a good, you've recruited in the transfer portal yourself into a team where you can throw all of them little gadgets and all that crazy stuff though, that you had to do. You ain't got to do that no more.
You know what's funny about watching Norvell in the red zone and do that little stuff is like some coaches, especially like really good offensive coaches, they overthink it a lot in the red zone like that. Like Andy Reid, 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, he's doing dumb shit like that. Doug does it all the time in Jacksonville. And they just do these little dumb end around. I'm going to hike it to the tight end and run a quarterback sneak. It's like, man, what are you doing? But it's like these good offensive coaches, I think they really be in the lab overthinking it sometimes. Like Kyle Shanahan be like, I'm going to hand this ball to Juszczyk. I'm going to hand this ball to Christian McCaffrey. And we go die for like we got a bigger stronger offensive line. Yeah. Like we just gotta go forward. Okay. Like
it's a half a yard. I was glad at Jordan looking like, yo, dog, it's a half a yard. Mike, come on, man. Like it's this much. What are you doing? Like, you know what I mean? Like I thought Jordan being frustrated in that moment was like, Thank you, Jordan. We all saying the same thing. Like, we didn't need this. I could have gotten in the center and got us this half a yard, dog. What are we doing? So Mike has a little bit of
them coaches, but them offensive guys like that, man, they do it, man. It's like they get bored with just running basic plays sometimes, man.
They really do. They really do.
They just do, man. They get bored.
I got this one. This will really get them.
This will get them here.
And he'd be like, no, you made it all the way down here just running regular plays. Now you're gonna get here, you're gonna do some, you can go to the back of the book. Let me flip the page 10 and do that one. I got that one.
Like, who are you trying to trick? You know what I'm saying?
First of all, we are definitely nitpicking problems. They're 6-0. They blew out 41-3. We are extremely excited about it. We 6-0, and we can pivot to this now. Looking around the league, I feel even more emboldened. There's not a team that I don't think Florida State can beat. Not one team. Will I pick them to win against Georgia? Probably not. But do I think Florida State can beat Georgia? Hell yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and that goes for anybody else who's up. Michigan right now looks very strong. They look very physical. But I'm going to see what they look like when they play Penn State. Let's see what they look like when they play Ohio State. You know what I mean? I want to see them play a better quality opponent before I can really see what Michigan is. Right now, Michigan has not played an opponent who should test them. And they're doing what they should do with overmatched opponents.
Right.
Let me see what they look like with another team. So, I'm glad somebody just said, yeah, Hakeem. And I'm glad before we move on.
We'll talk about these. Y'all keep dropping comments. I'm going to hit all these comments at the end of the show.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. So, would it highlight this?
I got it.
Okay, cool. We look around college football. Washington's good. I'm gonna stand on what I said earlier. You know what I mean? What I said last week. Line that shit up. You know what I mean? Line it up, Washington. Penix, very good, very, very good quarterback.
Man, how can you not? Teams. How can you not love that guy's story, man? Because I know it was a year, 2 years ago, he shredded his knee, man. Like to the point where, to be honest with y'all, I know a lot of people think he's gonna get drafted real high. I think when they do that eval on him, that knee don't have, like, from what I heard from somebody that would know, like, his football career is not gonna be that long. Like this, he might have three more good years in him. You know what I'm saying? Because of how bad his knee is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That guy shredded his knee. And so bad that Indiana didn't want to play him anymore. Like, they was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was like to the point where they felt a little unsafe about playing him, playing football. You know what I'm saying? Hmm. And, you know, he just wanted to play football. And he went with the offensive coordinator that left Indiana to Washington, followed him to Washington. And, man, watch him on the field, like, cry like that at the end of the game. And I was like, I know him, you know me, I don't get into all this cheesy stuff, but I was moved, man, because that dude, man, been through a lot, man. You know what I'm saying? He been through a lot. You know what I'm saying? And every week, guess what we get to hear about?
What?
Can't believe Willie Taggart didn't take Penix. which is so funny to me, because I remember when he offered Penix, everybody was like, oh, don't bring that trash into the program. Go get Emory Jones. Remember it was Emory Jones?
It was Emory.
We had to have Emory Jones. Remember that?
Penix was like an afterthought, and then we get him, and not looking around, it's like, man, Willie, how dare you not do that?
Yeah,
man, listen, we're a revisionist fan base, man.
Hindsight sometimes be hilarious to me, because, but I always say this though, it is your job to look through to find the right evaluation. But to be honest with you, Penix wouldn't have did good here at Florida State when Willie got here, because the offensive line was terrible. He couldn't run. He'd have been beat up. That knee would have been tore up. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I don't care who you had thrown in this system with Willie and what was going on. It was going to look bad.
The offensive line was too bad. You couldn't rebuild an offensive line in a year with the transfer quarterback back there. So he would have been terrible. You know what I'm saying?
It would have been real bad.
It would have been bad.
It'd have been bad.
I always say this. I like it when guys find the right situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. And sometimes that ain't at your favorite school. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes there are other places that they have to find the right situation, you know. But, man, that dude's story is amazing. I hope he win a Heisman, to be honest with you. I hope he win a Heisman. I think
he's probably the front runner. I think he's probably the front runner. Now that, you know, we done got all the Colorado hype out the way and, you know, Shadur and Travis not getting it. I think at this point, I would say he's probably the front runner. And Caleb Williams kind of destroyed his last night, so.
Well, see, that's another thing about habits, right? USC was forming all these bad habits these first couple games, hiking the ball, running around in circles, throw it 70 yards across your body, and all that's cool. And all
that work against Colorado.
ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
But then you play against a real team like Notre Dame, and now you're throwing picks. You know what I'm saying? Like, because you formed bad habits.
That's correct.
And that's what I'd be talking about. People be like, well, Sam, no, 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 no. It's about the habits you form, man, because you're going to play a team that's not going to allow you to do that stuff.
So, and to your point, is why we've been so critical of Florida State. It's not that we don't enjoy the wins. We enjoy the wins. We happy as hell for the wins. But we also can look to the future and say, if we do this same bullshit against a good team, you know what I mean? You do this against Duke next week, Duke may bite you in the ass with it. You know what I mean? Like, if I decide on fourth and short, I'm gonna run this whatever it is, and I don't get it, Duke is gonna score, or Duke may score, and now you know what I mean, and it changes the complexion of the game. Like, that's why we like Sam is saying, practice good habits, continue to do the things that you've done, don't switch it up. Like, this now ain't the time to decide I'm gonna go to the back of the playbook and run last year's stuff when I was on the goal line just because of Syracuse.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been harboring it for a couple of weeks. I don't feel like this team gets up and they immediately start trying stuff.
Yeah.
They go with the rotation. They go, like, substituting. Man, Aaron posted yesterday he was like, man, the fact that Fuller's not able to substitute even though they up 17-3 right now got to be killing him. You know what I mean? Something like that. Because it felt like – but that's really what it is, right? Like, this team gets up 17-3. They can get a feel for the opponent, and they know they can't beat us. And it's obvious to everybody in the room. It's obvious to the other coach.
Yeah.
Everybody knows they can't beat you. So then they get into, all right, well, let's try – let's go in. Let's try Pyramid. Let's bring in this running back. Let's right. I mean, CJ got a chance. You know what I mean? Like different guys. Let's experiment running back. Let's see what this wide receiver. Let's see what these plays do. And I just I don't mind your rotation. I just don't understand it.
I don't mind your rotation on offense as far as the skill guys because
I don't mind it either.
Because I feel like most of your skill guys are not other than Coleman. Yeah. I think all the rest of them guys are just guys. You know what I'm saying?
No, John is not a guy.
Okay. Well, all right.
Johnny not a guy. He drops passes or whatever it is, but Johnny runs good routes.
Okay, he does some good stuff. He does some good stuff. I'm not saying he don't do good stuff. He does some good things, but I'm saying I think you can find another 6'6 guy that can go high point to football. I think if you recruiting the way you're supposed to, you should be able to find another Johnny Wilson. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I found a better Johnny Wilson in Hakeem because, again, you don't see very many men move. You don't find very many men who, at that size who move like that in the open field. That boy ran away from ran away from guys and then juked at full speed in the open field.
Yeah.
Not very many do that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I just don't think he's a guy. I don't think he's a guy. I think he's a very good wide receiver.
We're parsing words, though. We're parsing words right now. But my point is, I don't think a lot of these guys are that different from one another. You know what I'm saying? Other than Coleman. I think Coleman is, like I say, I keep saying this, I think he's a legit first round pick. Yep. You know what I'm saying? I think he's a
top 10 pick. He keep going higher and higher.
I don't know about top 10, but legit first round pick. The only reason I say this is because the value of wide receivers. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but when
a lot of those guys go in the second round, a lot of them, unless you're like Marvin Harrison Jr. or Jamar Chase. Or, you know what I'm saying? Those guys are different types of body.
If you would have ranked wide receivers this season, though, you wouldn't go Marvin Harrison Jr., Keon Coleman?
But okay, so you can say that Coleman is number two as the wide receiver, but what would you rank him on a big board? We talking about draft a DN, O lineman.
I get what you're saying. West, you know what I'm saying? Value, value. So he had first round talent, but may go. I get what you're saying.
I think he's gonna be a first round. Yeah, I just think he might be pick 31, 28, 27, somewhere around there. Because of just position of value in the NFL draft. You know what I'm saying?
Depending on what the team needs, how the draft
works. Right. So et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying he, like, Jamar Chase was somebody that teams felt like they couldn't pass him over. That's the type of talent he had. That's why he went so high in the draft. People felt like, you know, because I remember they was talking about with the Bengals, they were talking about drafting the offensive line. Remember, they were like, Joe Burrow need offensive line help. And the GM was like, yeah, but Jamar Chase is like, Pro Bowl wide receiver now.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing with that. Dang, that's a punt return touchdown. Now he finna get caught. Okay. Sorry about that. So I do feel like he's legit. So, but my whole thing on offense, I don't mind a rotation. On defense, I do think you need to rotate a little less because I think those guys need a lot of reps. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, for real though.
Hey, I'm with you on that one. I'm with you on that one. T-Wood just said, I'm with you on that.
And it's going to be some wide receiver needed teams this year too, so that's something to watch.
True.
Because I think a lot of the guys at the back of the first round are going to be wide receiver needy. Like, I think the Patriots are going to be wide receiver needy, so I can see them trade back into the first round to get a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I think the Jags are going to be wide receiver needy. Chiefs definitely going to be wide receiver needy. So I think it's going to be some team that's going to really want a wide receiver. Arizona Cardinals going to have a high second round pick.
Which is why I say I think Johnny gets in the first round as well.
I think it's going to be a first rounder. I just keep saying I think it's going to be like the back end of the first round, somewhere from 25 to 32.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Let's pivot a little bit. So we know what Florida State is, right? We've seen Florida State play. I think we've seen enough from all these other teams to kind of, except for Michigan, in my opinion, we've seen enough to kind of figure out what these other teams are as well. Where does Florida State stand in the national picture?
Well, the schedule says that they should go, at most, they're going to lose one game. That's what the schedule says.
Who would be the team to beat them?
You know, I know y'all don't want to hear this, man. Y'all ask me this stuff. Y'all be want to hear these things. Y'all don't want to hear this.
I want to hear
it. No, because you want to argue.
Nope. I just want you to say who the one team is who could beat them.
I think if you play North Carolina in that championship game, that team is gonna present problems because of what they can do at the wide receiver position.
Oh, see, I don't disagree with that.
Well, I'm saying that's a team that, and everybody keeps saying, well, FSU owns Matt Brown. That's fine, they can own Matt Brown, but do you own Drake May? Like, that dude's gonna be a top two pick, and he's legit. And I will say this, as shitty as Matt Brown's been to me, he did, when he had Vince Young, he did win that championship with him. When he had a top five guy quarterback, he did win that championship with Vince Young. I ain't saying, and I think North Carolina actually is underrated in the national conversation to me, because, like, to me, I ain't saying they'll beat Bama, but I wouldn't favor Bama over North Carolina in a straight up game right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, with that quarterback against Alabama and what Alabama quarterback looked like, I think North Carolina could win that game. Like, I think North Carolina should be at least a top 10 team. Like, the fact they're like at 12 and 14. Yo, Mike, I can't hear you.
No, I wasn't talking.
Oh, okay. No, I think North Carolina is underrated. And I think a lot of the ACC teams are underrated. Like, I saw yesterday, I know Louisville lost, but they had Louisville at 14. And I was like, why is Louisville not higher? You know what I'm saying? Like, they beat
Louisville just got boat race.
They did. They got beat yesterday. But before that game, I mean, they had beat Notre Dame. And they didn't just beat Notre Dame. They, like, bludgeoned Notre Dame.
They did.
And Notre Dame was, like, the media darling 2 weeks ago. But then when Louisville beat them, I guess it didn't count as much. Like, these ACC teams are not being valued high enough to me. And I'm
It's past tradition. It's the past, right? In other words, ACC really ain't been nothing. And so, therefore, they probably still ain't going to be nothing. You know what I mean? So, yeah, they don't believe it, in other words. You know what I mean? You almost going to have to force it.
But
it's why Florida State keep dropping, even though we keep winning.
And that's
we
the keep problem. Dropping
because they keep saying, well, y'all ain't playing nobody.
Well, that's,
you know
the
what
problem,
mean? Clemson
though.
Wasn't that good or whatever. And it's a problem. It's
that's
a real
problem because even wrong. Clemson, to me, I mean, they lost against Duke and they lost against Florida State. Those are two of the best teams in the country.
Correct.
They
should be ranked.
Duke should be damn near top 10. No, I ain't saying Duke a top 10 team. They should be like 14 or 15. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't get the, like, it's this perception. And I think it's because the ACC is blowing up. Like, it's not going to be a conference in 2 or 3 years. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, to me, the Pac-12 and the ACC got some of the best teams in the country this year.
You know what I'm saying? Close.
And Big Ten, I mean, yeah, you can count the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten is a little bit top heavy. But if you put Louisville on the field with Iowa, I think Louisville would beat Iowa. If you put
to death.
Yeah, I think if you put Penn State versus North Carolina, FSU, yeah, that's a game. I'm not gonna say that's not a game. That's a game. Michigan, I think Michigan, I know people keep saying Michigan ain't playing about it. That's fine. I do think Michigan's like a top five team. I think
Michigan's top five team.
I think Ohio State's a top five team. Penn State, top 10 team. Yep. Once you get past those three, I mean, nobody's afraid of anybody. Like, I think the ACC could beat any of those teams. You know what I'm saying? Top to bottom. Hell, I'll even take I take what Virginia Tech is doing right now against Iowa. You know what I'm saying?
You ain't getting no argument from me. I 1,000% agree with you. Like, again, I think this is undervalued.
The history. Yeah, it's undervalued and it's ridiculous. I mean, because, if they're a more complete team in the country than North Carolina and Florida State, like, they're two of the most complete teams in the country. You're talking about great quarterback play, good D-line play, wide receivers, I mean, running backs on offense. They can score any kind of way you want to do it.
Yeah, if you want to get into a dog fight, grind it out, they've shown they can do that with good defenses in Clemson. If they're gonna put up 50, they can go. You want to get into a shootout? That's fine. We can shoot out with the best of them. I 100% agree with you. North Carolina and Florida State are two of the best teams in the country. I don't think North Carolina's getting nearly the respect they should. I don't think Florida State's getting nearly the respect they should. I mean, if we're really being honest about it, right? Florida State. I heard some people say Washington may jump them this week.
Right.
If Washington jumps Florida State, at this point, Florida State has quality wins. They continue to blow out teams. They averaging 40. I mean, they're getting 35 to 40 points a game on quality opponents every week. But we just keep sliding back and sliding back because they keep saying these other teams are better than us. And I'm just saying, line it up, man. I don't believe Miami. I think Miami is a decent team. I think they are a decent team, and you will have to play well to beat them. But right. I'm picking Florida State by at least 2 touchdowns. Probably the same score as what North Carolina. You know what I mean? The same way it looked against North Carolina, and I think they're gonna beat Duke by 2 or 3 touchdowns as well. I think Duke is gonna present a challenge as for next week. But I also think Florida State is a better team than Duke.
Well, the litmus test is going to be Duke and Miami to tell right. you exactly what Florida State is and isn't, to be honest with you. And I know people keep it's fun to make fun of Miami. And I'm all about that shit. I'm all about it. But they are good on defense.
They are.
They are good on defense. And people like watching North Carolina games, oh, I thought y'all – like, bro, that Drake May is good, bro. Like, just like you can sack him 10 times. But when you allow him to stand in that pocket 6 times, it's probably going to be 6 touchdowns because he's going to drive the football down the field. And everything is available to him. The middle, the right sideline, the left sideline, 10-yard runs. Like, he applies so much pressure to your defense that – I keep saying this, and I know everybody loves Caleb Williams. I think Drake May is the best quarterback in the country. Like, I really do believe that because he makes the position look easier than what it should be. Like, he gets the ball out fast. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm a big fan of Drake May. Like, if I'm with my first pick, I'm taking Drake May. Now, Caleb Williams, he does do the Mahomes stuff, but it's a reason why Andy Reid sat Mahomes down for a full year before he played. Like, he got to coach that shit out of Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? Because Mahomes threw that bitch across his body. It was nothing. So
Mahomes' game may be I hate watching it. Like, I know this is, you know, this is a little detour. I hate watching Mahomes play. Because it looks like it. Like, it's just, it never looks, it just looks.
But he gets away with it because his arm is so talented. He gets away with things. You know what I'm saying? But some of that stuff.
It's almost like when I started being like, God, dog, like Steph is shooting from the logo and he make it look so easy. So therefore, right. everybody think they can do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what the Patrick Mahomes kind of does. Like, cause so you got a whole bunch of people. He playing like Pat Mahomes. Nah. He's just risky. You know what I mean?
Caleb,
he's just
risky. Caleb has the same type of arm talent. I'm not
as Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Like, their arm talent is very similar. It's very similar. The difference is, to me, is Pat got with a coach and Andy Reid that can structure all of that stuff together. Where if you take him and put him in an offense with a terrible offensive coordinator, you know what I'm saying? That, like, what Justin Fields is going through, they're not going to accentuate the details of his game. Like,
right.
Pat Mahomes, the details have been accentuated. Like, Pat plays more in structure now than he did when he first started playing the quarterback position in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And they said that was a big deal for them when he first came out because Andy didn't feel like they could play him because Pat wanted to play off script so much in practice. And like, yeah, it looks great, but that doesn't help your offense because how you call plays for that? Like, right. Now you see USC running verts every damn play because, you know what I'm saying? Because you can't run your offense based on timing because this dude want to run around to the sideline left, run around to the sideline right, throw behind his body. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, it's
– yeah.
You gotta structure all that shit together. Like, and like Drake May does that consistently. Like, it's like almost like watching Andrew Luck in college. He does it consistently. Like, he's constantly on time. Then when you gotta need that wild play on 3rd and 20, he does that too. You know what right. I'm saying? So
right.
to me, Drake's, you know.
No, again, I think North Carolina, if they lose the ACC championship game, they won't make the playoff. I don't care if they are, you know what I mean? It don't matter what North Carolina's record is or anything like that. Okay, and they will not have won, and they will not have won the ACC. So then let me ask you this: let's say that's the case. Let's say the one loss is North Carolina. North Carolina beat them. They are undefeated. They beat Miami. They beat Florida, but they lose the ACC championship game, miss out on the playoffs. Does that season feel like a failure?
To me, it wouldn't be a failure. To me, now it would be irritating to not win the ACC, right?
Mm-hmm.
That because that to me is where the bar is. The bar is go win the ACC championship game. I don't care what you do after that.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. But again, everything after the ACC championship is great. Make the playoff, they go out there and get 50-0. It didn't matter. It was all gravy. Nobody expected them to win a championship this year.
But I do think when you talk about I do think the way it's setting up, man, I'll get back to this Miami game. I think the Miami game is going to be the true litmus test to me because they are going to present certain problems to FSU because that defensive coordinator, whether you like it or not, like, he reminds me of Wink Martindale for about the Giants. Like, bro, he is blitzing, bro. He is coming. Like, he ain't making no bones about what his game plan is. I'm coming to hit the quarterback. Like, that's what I'm coming to do. And a game like that could go two or three different ways. Are the DBs going to be on islands? Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
They're that's gonna what I'm going to say. They're going to be on islands. We'll get back to 50-50 in it.
Right.
I don't know if you want to play that. You know, again, Keon right. Coleman and Johnny Wilson going to win, I think, a lot but more that, than they lose.
But that can rattle a quarterback that doesn't like getting hit, and Jordan doesn't like getting hit. So that can route a guy that have a problem standing in there taking licks. So, and their linebacker play at Miami now is much better. Their D-line play is much better. You know, so they're going to present problems. I think you're going to beat them, though.
Miami, and that's all I'm going to say. Yeah. Miami's going to be a tough game. You will have. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be another 47. You know what I mean? It ain't going to be last year. It's not 47, whatever, to three. I don't think it's going to be, you know what I mean? Same thing with Florida. I don't think Florida's very good. I don't think Florida's very good at all. But I do think Florida may present a little bit of, just because of that offensive line. So if you're not getting pressure, I think Mertz has shown the ability that he can, if he's not getting pressure.
They're going to hold the ball.
Yeah.
Like, Florida's going to hold the football. Like, you're not going to get a bunch of possessions against Florida.
Right.
Like, they're going to ding and dunk and ding and dunk down the field. And if they get up, like if it's some kind of way they get up by like 10 points, they're a tough team to come back from because they hold a football forever. Like, that guy, like, I don't know. The Napier experience is funny to me. I don't think he's that bad of a coach. I do understand Florida. Florida want to win a certain kind of way. Florida want to win.
Well, Florida just wants to win. And again, that game, South Carolina's not good.
No, they want to win a certain kind of, they want to score points and win games. They want to score 30, 35, 40 points a game. That's their DNA. They got that Spurrier DNA.
I know they do, Sam, but I think Florida fans would just be happy winning. Man, and I think, it, like we talk about with habits, I think you look at that South Carolina game yesterday, you say, they should have lost. Right, if South Carolina had a different coach, they would have lost. And it's like South Carolina, you know what I mean? Now they got LSU, you got Georgia, you got us, you got Missouri, and we said it last. Like, it's gonna be hard to find wins against good teams playing the way that they play. And I think if they win games, I don't think they care. 17-3, then they'll make an excuse for it because it's a win.
Well, I think Billy doesn't care. I think Billy.
Now, Billy don't care.
I think Billy knows that I got a limited football team. Mm-hmm. I need to limit possessions. You know what I'm saying? And I need to try to get into the fourth quarter and try to win these. Like, try to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to win a game, trying to steal games. He's trying to steal games in the fourth quarter.
And he did yesterday.
And I think that's the right way for him to do it in his second year, because 100%. He doesn't have a real talented team. It makes sense to me. Like, and people complain about him. I'm like, well, I think he's winning the way that they're supposed to win. Like, it wasn't going to be high flying. He went and got a quarterback that he felt like, I'm not going to let him turn the football over. So I'm going to get him safe throws to the sideline. I'm going to get him boot actions. I'm going to get him rollout plays, give him two guys to look at. And I don't want him to make no mistakes. And I live and die with that.
Right.
I think they're playing the way they're supposed to play with the talent that they have. You know what I'm saying? And Florida they're playing a bunch of true freshmen. A bunch of them. Like, that's why their special teams is a disaster. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, when you play that many freshmen, they make mistakes. You know what I'm saying? So true.
You got to take your lumps with the freshmen. Yep.
Yeah, you got to take your lumps with it. So we'll see where Florida's at by the end of the year. I think they're going to present problems to Florida State because they're pretty good on the D-line and offensive lines. Mm-hmm. They do limit possessions. So if Florida State trying to throw 50-50 balls and getting off the field like they do, and they missing on the 50-50 balls,
you can struggle for a bit.
You're going to struggle in that game. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like you did last year. So, but other than that, I think for like
last year was more defensively as well. And I think the biggest thing, and I think the biggest thing with Florida State between last year's and this year is I may have a little bit more faith in the defense. You know what I mean? Like, if Florida State has figured out what they need to figure out on defense, which, again, Syracuse, whatever. If Florida State has figured out what they needed to figure out on defense, then it really can change. Because 2 weeks from now, you know, by the time you get to Miami, if Florida State said, all right, we know what we got to do. We coming. We sending blitzes from this. We doing that. Again, the timing of the blitzes were perfect. Again, yesterday, which is the second week in a row, I said, yo, they came out early. They blitzed. They knew they had to. They even handled motion better yesterday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If Florida State is starting to figure it out on defense, Adam Fuller's figured out what he has. These DBs have figured out what roles they can play well. They get healthy. Then I can look at some of these games and say, how is Miami going? You know what I mean? Miami going to struggle to score. Van Dyke gonna give it, gonna give you the ball at least twice, one fumble and probably a pick. So that's gonna give you a couple extra possessions. That's why I can see you end up.
Well, he's a one or two read guy too, and he's only gonna read one half of the football field. Also,
that's correct. You know what I'm saying? And that's why he throws some. That's why he can end up in a 3-pick game.
Yeah,
if the defense is figuring it out, then it's gonna be. You know what I mean? Then it's it can get dicey, and that's all I'm saying. I want to kind of say, because again, it's hard to put a lot of faith in Adam Fuller's defense, but if they have figured it out, and if they have, you know, if this is who they're going to be,
right,
and they figured that out, I think Florida State wins these games a little bit more comfortably than I would have predicted them early in the season. I do think they beat Miami. I do think they beat Florida. I can agree both of those will be tough games. I will have them beating Duke again this week, and I guess we can, you know, get into predictions on that game.
Well, you know what? I'm going to hold the Duke's conversation. I'm going to say I tried to get my girl Candace on here.
Okay.
To talk about.
Do another midweek pod?
I'm going to try to get this in this week. I'm going to get this a great shot. I'm going to give it a shot. So, I'm going to hit her up today and see what
my We'll actually break down the Duke game. So, you want to get these comments?
Yeah, let me go ahead and hit these comments for y'all. Where am I at? I started. Okay. Man, Hakeem Williams. All right, here you go. Let me show these how I do it. Man, Hakeem Williams, special athlete kid, gonna be a problem. Yeah, I think I remember seeing in the offseason when we first got Hakeem that he wasn't a first year like contributing type guy, that it was gonna take him some time, but he got high ass upside, and I think that's what you saw yesterday. So next year I think you'll see a little jump from Hakeem. I don't think it'll be a huge jump, but I think you'll see him catch like 40 balls, 500 yards next year.
Will he be wide receiver number one?
If he's wide receiver one next year, either something went really, really right or something went really, really wrong. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I agree.
No, I
get what you, like. It took me a minute. That's why I say let me. I was think about it for a minute. I get what you're saying, and I agree.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys.
Yeah, either he's had a huge jump.
Yeah,
he truly is wide receiver number one.
Right.
Or
we don't have any good wide receivers.
Or our wide receiver number one is really a wide receiver number two, which then means it could get a little dicey because you don't have a true one. Yeah, right. I'm with you on that. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, right. Hakeem Williams is special, man. I don't know what you want me to say. We knew that coming out of high school, and
yeah, his upside is huge. It's just it's gonna take him a.
It takes receivers, man. Kelvin Benjamin was
fine details of his Kelvin game. Benjamin
4 years.
Yeah, the fine details of his game is gonna take him a little while. But that athletic ability, like that stuff, you can't really coach it.
You can't coach that. Yeah. We don't have very many guys who can take tunnel screens, man. We run a lot of tunnel screens, and they don't never look like that. Yeah, the fact that he's able to catch that ball and then go. Also, the offensive line did a great job blocking on that play. I know we've seen it from a lot of angles, but man,
Armello
perfectly executed. Just the execution of that play was like when they watch that one on film, it's gonna be a whole lot of good. You know what I mean? Again, our backup unit. You had a quarterback of next year, probably in Tate Rodemaker. You had your receivers, you know what I mean, wide receiver number one and backup offensive line, who will be some of these guys will be starters next year. I thought it was wonderful execution by that group. So it made me feel good about the future of the program.
Yeah. Okay. What do you guys think of Louisville losing? You want to take that one first?
It's gonna sound bad, but I didn't think Louisville was that good. You know what I mean? I know we were hype. A lot of people was hype on Louisville. That was a talking point throughout the week. I kind of expected Louisville to lose a few games this season. I think they lost one. You know what I mean? Like I thought they kind of caught Notre Dame at the right time, in the right spot, in the right day, and they were able to exploit some stuff that Notre Dame, you know, couldn't stop. But outside of that, you know, I didn't think Louisville was that great.
I think first of all, Jeff Brown's a really good coach. So I think he has got the absolute most out of that football team in that roster. And I don't think Louisville got nothing to be ashamed of, to be honest with you. He has put them in a position to play for the ACC championship. So with that being said, I wouldn't take much from it. They was bound to lose a game. They wasn't going undefeated. Nope. You know what I'm saying? So I think what I would take away from the game is Pitt looked the best they had looked all season that game. And you do play Pitt later. They changed the quarterback. And they made some adjustments on their roster. So that could be an interesting game. I think you beat Pitt by 2 touchdowns, but let's monitor Pitt going forward. Like, let's see if that quarterback continue to get better as the season go. So let's monitor Pitt going forward, right? Because they made a change of quarterback.
I'm not monitoring Pitt.
All right. Kazaire Holmes might need to get some more carries.
Nope. Listen, nope. We got a lot of good running backs. He should play when he gets in the game. Right now, we already juggling 4 running backs trying to get touches. Now we want to add, you know what I mean? Like, no. He going to get the touches he going to get this season. Next season, he will get more. It's good to know that we have one of them good problems. It's good to know that we have him in the tuck. But no. You know what I mean? Like, no. We got enough carries, man. Like, this season ain't even really about the running backs. You know what I mean? Like, what we're seeing from the running backs is what we're going to get from the running backs. I don't care who you put in there. You can put in Kazaire Holmes. You can put in Trey Benson. You put in Lawrence Toa-Philly. You put it, like, it don't matter who you rotate in it. You put in Hill. It all still kind of looks the same. All of them have a good little burst. All of them can run downhill. All of them are powerful. All of them can take it to the distance if it's blocked up well. No. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, just if he gets some more carries, okay. But if not, okay too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm saying he don't need any more carries. I don't think they need to try to get him any more carries. Continue running the offense the way they've run it and don't change nothing up. They go out there and blow out Duke, he gets some carries in the second half like he did. You know what I mean? Like,
I kind of agree with you on that a little bit, actually. Let's go here. I got a Pennis question. Pennis transferred from IU. Am I misremembering? Yeah, he transferred from IU. Yeah. He shredded his knee. The coaches didn't feel like it would be good to play him anymore with what the significant damage of that knee was. It was more than just ACL. I think it was a lot of stuff he tore up in that knee. Like,
yeah, I think it was ACL, MCL, and the PCL. It was a lot, man.
I know they from what I was told that it's not a lot of holding around that knee right now. Like, it's not a lot.
Yeah. So he one bad step away, you know, or one wrong basically. Plan.
Yeah. So that's why he got hit. Is that kind of was afraid. I was like, damn, is he all right? I hope he get back up. He kind of got hit right in the knee. So from what I told, they would say that the guy told me, like, he ain't gonna be like, when the NFL do that medical on him, they wouldn't be surprised if he, like, really fall like 5th, 6th round of the draft. Like, even though he got that talent, because if you go get a guy like that to start, you don't want to pay him all that money to start, and then once he gets hit or whatever.
The doctor say he got three good years.
Yeah, kind of like Miles Jack. Remember Miles Jack fell in the draft?
Yep.
Remember that? And
yeah.
People was like, well, he only got so many years left in him. And Miles Jack actually played longer than they thought he would, to be honest with you. Yeah. So,
I think these next three are all Pennix questions. We answered all these already.
So he'll slide to the hell. Yeah, I need that. And LJ McCray, I don't think he coming to Florida State. I was joking on the timeline when I said I heard Florida State. I was just being funny. I don't know shit about recruiting.
I was just gonna say I don't. Not only do I not know, I don't care, because again, I told you, Travis Hunter ruined me from recruiting. I don't talk it. I don't listen. I'm not invested. I don't care. On signing day, we will finish somewhere between 1 and 25. And wherever we land, Mike is going to fill in the holes with the transfer portal guys. I don't care, man. Travis Hunter ruined me from recruiting. I used to watch the shows. I was invested. I won't do it again. Travis Hunter got me, dog.
I'll tell you something. That'll be always the funniest. The Travis Hunter thing will always be the funniest thing from Brandon, because I remember telling Brandon that it wasn't going to happen like a month before it happened. And that he was like, nah, Sam. Nah. He like, nah, let me tell you this. Let me tell you why.
Coach was his mentor. Our DB coach was his best. He considered that man like family. He ain't going to do family like that. There was a whole lot of things I've been hearing and all sorts of stuff of why he was coming here, just for him to decide he was going with Deion. Man, get out of here.
Yeah, that hurt you. Do you really consider JT a Heisman? No, I don't.
Heisman favorite? No.
Nah. If
they keep winning, he'll get invited. They keep saying it every week. You know what I mean? At this point, he's involved in the conversation every week. I looked at when they showed that chart last week, I didn't think he was even going to be on it, but he was like 5th or 6th. If he keeps winning and they're undefeated and he's still, you know what I mean? And
they got to invite
decent.
They got to invite 3 or 4 people, right?
He's going to be the foe. You got to think about it. Who all is in it? It's going to be quarterbacks this season. So, you know, Williams will probably still get an invite, even to make, you know, we know Penix is going, we know Drake may have probably be included. I can see Jordan Travis getting that fourth spot.
So you got, so for me, it'll be Brett, what? Drake Penix is two. They're not going to put Brock Bowers in there.
Nope. And he probably going to miss again next week. Oh, they got a bye week this week, don't they?
They got a bye week, yeah. He's going to go off against Florida, though.
Yeah. Oh.
Them freshman linebackers are going to be in trouble.
It's going to be real. Real. Yeah.
Dude, you know something? Sneaky enough, that quarterback from Georgia is actually playing good football now.
He is.
So now they're dangerous.
He's starting to feel good. Yeah.
Yeah, Carson Beck's starting to play good. Georgia's now back to cement themselves as the number one team in the country again. So,
oh, see, I disagree with that. I still think they're very beatable this season.
I don't.
I still think they're very beatable.
I
think LSU gonna give them something. I think LSU gonna give them something.
They don't play LSU this year, do they?
Do they play LSU? I thought they played LSU.
I think they West Coast is very easy.
Well, who the hell they got on their schedule? Let's see. So then they play Bama though, right?
If they get to the championship, the next LSU game, because their West schedule easy for them. They got Florida, Ole Miss, and Georgia Tech. That's their last three games.
Oh shit! All right, well then, yeah. All right, well, I guess we'll see them in the championship.
Oh, they got Tennessee, and they got Missouri.
Tennessee can't beat them.
Missouri be tough.
I was gonna say that's the one I think will give them a little bit of a fight because Missouri can score points. Let's see.
Every time they decide
they want to play for real,
when they like, oh, Kentucky's a threat, they were like, okay, 51 points.
Yeah, that's all I'm gonna say. When they seem like they want to care, when they decide they want to care, I don't know if they can be beat. Be honest with you.
So in the championship game, they either get LSU or they'll get Alabama.
I can see LSU beating. I don't know about Bama. I don't know if Bama's offense is good enough.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They got the defense to hold Georgia and make it a game.
Score enough points. That's the only thing about
the problem.
Yeah, but I don't know if there's.
But I do think there's some
minute. LSU. I think LSU is the. If LSU get there, I can see LSU giving them.
And them DBs gonna have a. Them DBs are having a hell of a time with Caleb, man. I mean, not Caleb, but Brock.
Brock B. No, they are. They are. But I also think they can score points too. I also think LSU should be able to score points. It don't matter. Listen, man, these are problems that they ain't got nothing to do with us, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Whoever get there,
beating Luke.
Yeah, that was last
Luke, look, like somebody said something about Luke being like Drake May. I think you, Luke, I think you're way off on that. Drake May is very much a very different prospect than what Luke Carmichael was. I mean, it's easy to say it as we sit here today because you ain't seen Luke actually play in a college football game. But
I want to see what. Yeah, let me see.
I'm gonna say this. Like. They thought. I remember when Drake May first got to North Carolina, they thought he was better than Sam Howell the first day he stepped on that campus. They were saying that because I kept saying, well, Sam Howell's leaving, so they finna be trash now, right? And people like, nah, bro, Drake May better. You know what I'm saying? They were like, Drake May is better. They kept saying Drake May was better. That was around the program because they said Drake May was better. And Sam Howell actually is not bad at NFL.
No,
he's
not.
Not bad.
I'm going to say, I don't see anything else. Kentucky has shown the last 2 weeks why I'm not concerned about Florida. I tend to agree with that. I don't think Florida's very good. I think they do think some Kentucky things.
I think Kentucky got a better offensive line than Florida State. That's hard to say because it's Kentucky, but I think they do. They do a good job.
I don't feel that again. I'm least concerned about Florida than I am about Miami and Duke. I think Miami and Duke present more of a problem than Florida.
Yeah, I do think Miami and Duke present more of a problem than Florida, though. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think the only problem is you play them in the swamp, so they'll get up for that. They're gonna get really, really up for that game. That's a game that it can get, you know, the swamp, and it's probably gonna be a night game. Watch it be a night game.
No, they ain't gonna put undefeated Florida State against 4-win Florida at night.
Yeah, they're gonna seven.
They
gonna
how many games they got right now? Four.
I want to say they have five, ain't they?
They have five. Okay, so they Florida got their last win of the season. I think I had what were they 5.5 is what they were predicted to win. They right where they at.
Well, they got to play. They got Georgia, Arkansas.
Lost.
Arkansas gonna be tough. They can probably squeeze out of Arkansas. Arkansas at home though.
Yeah,
they got Arkansas at their home, so that's a game I think they can win.
Okay.
So that the Swain game on their schedule is going to be that Mizzou game on the 18th. They got to find a way to beat Mizzou. I don't think they're going to beat LSU. LSU is going to be tough, though, because of LSU secondary, man, every game is losable for them because of that secondary.
They're not exploiting LSU what they would need. Like, then he would have to throw the ball down the field to exploit LSU's DBs.
Well, he did that yesterday against South Carolina, though. They took advantage of South Carolina back in on some of those concepts yesterday. That's how they got to those points. Florida scored 41 points yesterday. I'm just saying, they did. If you got a bad secondary, if your secondary is playing bad, every game is on the table, bro. It's like when I watch Colorado Friday, I'm like,
every game is always on the table with them.
It's on the table, man, because your defense.
What's funny? They can the rest of the schedule. They can win the rest of them. They can lose the rest of them. Right. And I wouldn't be surprised either.
Because of the schedule, secondary.
Yeah, because of the secondary. That defense is so bad. Which again, the game one when I saw that's Charles Kelly on the sideline. At that point, I knew
this was going to be a bad defense. I thought you were talking about Colorado.
No. Listen, Florida. I ain't even talking about Florida. Florida is what it is, and I'm not good at grading Florida because there is obvious bias there. I'm going to tell you that personally. I'm not really good at evaluating Florida. I'm saying I thought Florida was going to win 5 games this season, like just coming in. I'm looking at it, and based on what I've seen, doesn't look that impressive. So if I look at the rest of their schedule, I don't think they'll be favored to win any of those games. I don't think they'll be favored to win against Arkansas, and I don't think they'll be favored against Mizzou. I think the mother three are guaranteed losses. I think Georgia, LSU, and Florida State are guaranteed losses. So, do they win one of those 250-50 games and get to a bowl game? I don't know. Maybe. Colorado is – their defense is just god-awful, and we should have known that when Charles Kelly was standing on the sideline game one.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not that down on Charles Kelly. I was watching that game, and you know what I came away thinking?
What?
So Colorado had got like 6 penalties with 12 men on the field, right, on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't catch it until like the third time or fourth time it happened. When the offense substitutes, right,
mm-hmm,
referee is supposed to then get over the football and allow the defense to make their substitution.
Right.
Matter of fact, I've seen certain.
No, instances. They do it every time. They'll stop. They will stop the whole game. You can take as long as you need to substitute. Right.
But I've seen in certain instances, if a team is running like a 3-minute drill trying to get down the field and you make a substitution, the defense will wait if the clock is running to make the substitution to make you run more time off the clock. Right?
Right. Right.
So during the Colorado game, Stanford was substituting to get into heavier packages. And when Colorado would try to wait to make their substitute because they're trying to make mm-hmm. Stanford run the clock, mm-hmm. they would allow Stanford to just hike the football. And it happened like 4 times. And I thought Charles Kelly was mad at the defensive guys, but he actually was yelling at the referees. Because I went back and watched it because then I realized it again when I watched Miami versus North Carolina yesterday. Remember they gave the coach a penalty.
Yeah.
And he was yelling on the field. They said he was yelling at his defensive guy. I was like, no, he was yelling at the defensive guy, but he's talking to the referee because he's like, motherfucker, you got to allow us to make our substitution. They don't get to just run a guy on the field and then hike the football. So right. That's why he started screaming like that. And that's why they had got 12 guys on the field. So these referees, and I noticed it happened 3 other times yesterday too on some other games I watched. These referees are not allowing the defense to make the substitutions that they want to make because the defense is saying, hey, that guy just subbed. So guess what? I'm going to take time to allow my defense to rest. So I'm going to hold my guy to the last possible time and then run him on the field. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't get to go fast. So these referees are not holding the football. So that's why these coaches, and I'm thinking to myself, it must have been happening a lot throughout the season. Because now these defensive coaches, if you notice them, they're all coming on the field yelling at the referees. They're like screaming down the refs.
Yeah, no, it, listen, the refs have been bad. Refs across football have been really bad.
I was surprised yesterday because I think the coach from Miami, I was surprised they threw a flag on the coach at Miami because normally.
My man was standing in the middle of the field.
No, but normally those coaches get to act like complete jackasses all the time, and they never throw a flag.
They get to act like jackasses from the sideline to the hash.
You see coaches right behind the neck of referees screaming them down on the sidelines, and they don't do nothing.
Behind the neck, close to the sideline.
Yeah.
My man's was out there. You got to get a flag. Here's what I'll say, though. I'm tired of Colorado. I think what's happening with Colorado may be the most unfair to the kids. Like, and I really mean this. I watched Travis Hunter into that game on Friday with 7 cameramen around him. I'm like, dog, I've been in NFL games. I don't see that. Like, it was like he was shooting a music video.
Right.
I don't know how you as a player, I don't know how you as a coach, Deion has to do something better of saying we got to limit some of this media here. It can't be a media circus every time we step out. I know that's how Deion likes, you know what I mean, but it's got to be distracting as hell for that team. You know what I mean? When the dude walked out of the tunnel in warmups. Like, I ain't talking like pregame warmups with the full pads on, just in some shorts and some headphones, and had 7 cameramen around him. Like, I feel like that's a level of media attention that you can't possibly want on your team. I'd imagine most coaches try to fight distractions. That's a distraction. I 100% blame Deion for it. Yeah, I blame Deion for the fact that my daddy don't call me 4 times this morning. I guarantee you know what he want to tell me about something Deion said.
Well, okay, I don't think
now, that's a whole other thing.
I don't think that's actually fair because all these coaches want to do these highlighting their program, branding their program. Just because one coach does it at a higher level than the other coaches. And with Travis Hunter, he has his own production team.
They don't want that. I get it. Mike Norvell would be, I believe, if Mike Norvell, Travis walked out and there was 19 cameras around him, I imagine Mike Norvell would be like, yo, dog, let's get everybody out.
Bro, Mike Norvell huddles his team up before halftime in the middle of almost the 50-yard line, just so everybody can see him coaching the team up as his PA announcements going on, people screaming at the stands. Like, he huddles his team up before halftime to coach him up. Why is he doing all of that? Why is he doing that? It's pointless. Dan Lanning invited the camera crew into his locker room before the Colorado game and say, he's not playing for clicks. This ain't
now that was funny. Now that was
right.
Funny.
Why are you doing that, Lanning? You don't want any attention. You want to be focused on the football field. Why is cameras in?
He knew they was gonna beat that.
Okay, you put him in there.
Say some words.
Okay,
did he do that before Dan Lanning? But he has not done it. He has not done it since. He has not done it since, and he will not continue again. If they continue to have this level of media accessibility to his program, I'd imagine coaches would start closing practices. I'm telling you, no coach wants this.
That is
a ridiculous level of media attention that is going on in Colorado with those players, and we're asking them to play at a high level every week. And the fact that Deion will not say, "Hey, dog, we can't do this,"
man, we got an hour. I'm at an hour and 8 minutes on this, but I just think when you go to a program as dead as Colorado was, you're trying to grab as much attention, headlines, and everything because you want it to be the it school. You know what I'm saying? This is the place to come to. I don't have a problem. Man, I'm gonna tell you something.
But what makes it an it school is winning football games. And I think if you had less distraction,
but you got to get the players there. And to be honest with you, they didn't lose that game because of media attention. They lost that game because they can't get to the quarterback and the cornerbacks and Omarion Cooper fell down on a basic slant route, which I don't understand how he did that. I think the way y'all see media attention, I think players at that level lock in. They're not good. That's the difference. They're not good. If Bama was doing that shit every week, you wouldn't care. Okay. They're not
good. So take your, they're not good. Now take you're not good and add in 1,000 distractions to it. Every week being a media circus or whatever it is, you are adding more distractions to a team that is not very good.
What's the distraction? Brandon, they went 1-11 last year. Nobody was covering them. There was no media attention to distract them last year. You know why they went 1-11?
Because they weren't good. Okay. And they're not good. And they're still not good.
These arbitrary things that's outside the football field that everybody gets up in arms about, I don't understand. Matter of fact, this is a whole nother tirade. Because I listened to, they asked the South Carolina coach Shane Beamer about how they lose a game and this and that. He said that, you know, the players are not playing the situations correctly. We call this play a guy overshoots and not play with leverage. This guy doesn't do this when we call that play. And everybody said, oh, he's not taking any responsibility. And I'm like, you asked the coach what happened on the play. What do you want him to say? I ain't coaching well enough. Oh, we know you didn't coach him well enough. That's why you shouldn't be the coach. Oh, you're blaming the player because you said the player overran the. What do you want the coach to say? Like, what do
we
you?
We don't disagree that now.
No,
the
I'm
coaches
saying,
have no right answers. But my thing is this:
when you're losing, it doesn't matter what you say, because you lost. It does. Like all this arbitrary shit does not matter when you lose. It just doesn't matter.
Listen.
So my whole thing with Colorado, they doing this whole thing where they like branding each individual player. They got their little Instagram thing on the back of their shoulder pass in practice. They got YouTube videos for their practice. They got YouTube videos for personalities or whatever on the team.
That's all right. So dumb.
Okay. That's what they're doing. That's not why they're not getting sacks and getting guys off the field. They're not getting sacks and getting out because they're not good on the defensive line.
And they haven't been. Before the Cameron came, they were bad. I agree with that. I don't disagree with any of them. It also ain't helping.
Well, what's going to help them?
Get better players.
Maybe branding your football team where a defensive end feel like I'm going to be the highlight when I cut this program. I'm going to be able to make a lot of NIL money. I kind of Colorado because all the branding that Deion's bringing over here, maybe getting that 5-star defensive end does help, right?
My thing is,
this shit is arbitrary. You're mad about the losing. You're not mad about what the team or coaches are doing. You're mad about the losing.
I'm not mad about neither one of them. I saw Travis Hunter into that stadium and I said, that's a lot of cameras around that man. That's it. That was literally my thought. Like, do I think it has anything to do with winning? No. I do not want 20 cameras around one player entering or leaving the stadium just because I think it's a bad look. I do think it is a distraction. I don't think it's necessary, but no, I also don't think it has anything to do with whether they're going to win these next few games or lose them. I just think it's unnecessary and you should be trying to get someone out of the program.
And I do think the media thing with everybody, I have a problem with the media crafting narratives about football teams that I think don't be true. Right. Mm. But with Colorado, you can't do that because there's so much access that you can't shape this narrative. Like, even if you go watch the videos of Colorado when they do practices, it's not a game. You know what I'm saying? Like, Deion's running a legit real program. Right.
Yeah, they got real practices.
You're not getting a snippet of them dancing, drinking water, thinking, oh, it's a clown program. No, you see damn near half of the
practice. They don't waste a minute. In practice. Every minute is used up in practice.
Right.
It's a very flawless looking practice.
But it's one of those things where it's easy to shape narratives when you're not given that type of access for a media to say, oh, they're not getting anything done in practice. Oh, they're not, because nobody knows. You know what I'm saying? So I don't actually have a problem with how he runs his program. I think they're just not very good. I don't think it's that.
Here's the thing with Colorado, and I'll try to explain it. They got 22 players. They got nothing behind them 22 players.
And they probably
ain't even got 22. They may got like 18. They got like 18 players. Maybe that may even be generous. They got like 12 players.
I watched the video.
Players are good players.
I watched a video where one of Deion's assistant coaches told the scout team guys, I'm tired of y'all shit. We need better scout team guys. Y'all not giving a good enough effort. Y'all not giving a good enough look. Y'all not doing y'all job. Like, this dude was screaming down the scout team. Like, we're going to get rid of y'all. This is a Colorado practice. You know what I'm saying? So this idea, like, people can, the whole thing about this Deion thing, you either like him or you don't. And if you don't like him, it don't matter what he do. He can wear a gold chain, not wear a gold chain, put on shades, don't put on shades. He can, all this stuff. But if you watch his, everything he does to me is consistent with who he is and what his program is. I don't think it's that different. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't know. I think it's a lot of overblown stuff, man. And people hate the program that gets a lot of attention, right? People got mad at Alabama when they was getting a lot of attention. People get mad at, you know, people can't wait to say, yeah, but on social media with your program or whatever you're doing in life. Like, no matter what you're doing, as soon as people start, hey, Brandon, you're doing a good job with your pod. Yeah, but the pod like this, dog, it's really trash. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people,
you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just what we get. We have a hating society. Nobody really congratulate the next person. You know what I'm saying? So I think where Colorado at, they needed to win that Stanford game to make a bowl game, in my opinion.
I agree.
I do think they can still win two. I do think they can still slide two games. It's going to be hella tough, though, because Shador has no margin for error. He can't throw a pick in a game. He can't do that. Nope.
He can't
throw one pick.
Shit, they almost had a place where they can't even get a three and out. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right. They can't get three and outs. He can't.
Yeah, they got
take
zero margins.
He can't take sacks. You know what I'm saying? The safety play is so bad that at this point, now with your cornerbacks playing bad after that game, I don't know. They don't have a lot of margin for error because they can't get to the quarterback. So your defensive back's got to be flawless on the back end. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Which they had been flawless up into that game. They had played great up into that game. But nah, like I said, they're in trouble. So that's Colorado breakdown. But yeah. I just think people just hating. Because I got somebody call me the other day and go, I wasn't even talking about Colorado. I was talking about the Jaguars. And they went on, yeah, but Deion Sanders and his dumbass son. I'm like, God damn.
No, it don't. It'd be so tough, man. Like, the calls I get from people, they hate Deion. It's crazy to me. But anyway, Matt, listen, this ain't Buffalo's. This ain't Listen Up Buffalo's. y'all got plenty of media attention. Y'all can go deal with if y'all want to. But listen, man, Florida State 6-0. We headed to the ACC championship game. As long as, you know, we continue to do whatever we continue to do. I think my biggest takeaway is Florida State still has not played their best game, and they are beating the hell out of teams. Boy, that's a good problem to have when you are, you know what I mean, you 41-3 and you can find things that are wrong, that if we did this better, the score would have been like 60-3. You know what I mean? Like, so those are wonderful problems to have. And the fact that we have them, I'm happy as hell about them. We'll beat Duke next week and we'll find some more problems. And, you know, we'll look at it and say, I think Duke is a very good team. I actually thought that they were going to lose to North Carolina State last week. I mean, yeah, yesterday they didn't. They actually handled business. So, I'm getting more and more impressed by Duke. I still think we win, and the reason why, and even if matchup wise, I do think it's going to be tough. And Sam talked about it, and we will break it down a little bit later on this week. But yeah, matter of fact, I'm gonna save it.
All right, let me hit Candace up, and I'll see if I can get her on.
All right. This is the Listen Up Podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. We are out.
Third Listen Up Podcast. Yep. Serve crack. Uncle fronted me some pee.